Hang on, Barry, I'm not ready. Welcome back. Hey, welcome. This is Microsoft Virtual Academy. We are essentially developing Windows Store apps.
Using C Sharp.
No doubt about it. So
we must add XAML.
We use C Sharp and a little bit of XAML. This is really a presentation about XAML, right? Over and over. It's so much different in XAML. This is the second of three. We did the first day was all about the fundamentals of C#.
Yep.
This is the second day correlates to 70383. That course, it's a 5-day course. We're compressing it down to a single day. This is module 5. We have gone through 4 modules. We just ate lunch, so we are raring to go, Darren.
Or in a food coma. One of the two.
Yeah, a little bit of both. If you see that happen. All right.
Ask questions.
If you're on the live chat, by the way, cool.
Exactly.
Yeah,
good job.
Let's see.
So we're talking about resources, styles, and templates.
That's it, yeah. Here we go. Let's start with the fundamental question when you talk about something. We're talking about resources.
Yeah. What are they?
What is a resource?
What the heck?
Yeah. Well, let me tell you. A resource is a reusable something. I mean, that's a good way to start. I mean, it is that.
It is
reusable.
And it is something.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, and we are done.
That's right. We'll see you in 10 minutes. No. What kind of something can it be? There really are quite a few options. We talked about this a little bit before, that when we talk about resources, it could be reused across the page to different objects on the page. It could be the scope could be raised up. It could be reused across the application. What can we share? We can share things like definition of color. We can share definition of font sizes, definition of all kinds of things. Really, almost anything.
Pretty much any object that you can instantiate, you can create as part of your resources and share that that instantiated instance or that definition across your application.
Yeah. Font size is a handy one. Of course, there are many resources that are already embedded into your app that you don't have to provide, right? They are already there. Those are the core styles of text boxes and things like text blocks and things like that.
I mean, we talk about colors, but a good example is to give this color a descriptive name, such as default foreground text.
Yeah.
And then you can assign that a value, and then you can use that consistently. And in the same way as building web pages where you've got CSS, you can just change it in that one location, and it's automatically promoted throughout your application.
If you do put it at the application level, and then you also put it at the page level, and there's a conflict in the name, what's the result?
So basically, it's wherever the definition is closest to the control that's consuming. So if you have it at the application, and as you come down from the application, you have it at the page level, then the page level will override it. Equally, if you have it overridden at the control level, then the control overrides that
definition.
Yeah,
if it's in a container or something like that, it would be overridden. Perfect. Now, styles is the most obvious thing we could share because it's probably the first thing you'll share.
Yeah.
There are other things that we could share. You said anything that would be instantiated. You're right. But probably the biggest case would be templates.
Templates
we could use. So you show data in your application. You might show it on 2 different pages. The templates are what you use to show it. Got it. All right. So talking about scoping. So we looked at this earlier in a previous module where you create the scope. It's nice when you are creating a local resource using the designer, and the designer kind of gives you this option, right? So the first is whether or not you give it a name or not, and then the 3 scopes. The first is application. That would be for everybody. Puts it in your app XAML. The second one is it puts it at the top of this document. That drop-down allows you to change to put it at the top of a control or a container that might be there as well, so you can kind of limit the scope. And then resource dictionary is special.
Yes, very special.
What is a resource dictionary, Darren?
So a resource dictionary is a separate asset that you can add to your project, and you can group together all of the styles and reusable elements that we've talked about. Then you can determine where you wish to add that resource dictionary, whether you want to merge it into your overall application capability or whether you want to just reference it on a specific page.
It's a great way to extract whatever it is into its own file. It's really great. Yeah, that's right. So I have 1, 2, 3, 4 resource dictionaries now. I can add it just like this. Using the new add dialog, it pops up. So it's the simplest of all XAML. And I start putting in whatever it is I want. How do I start merging that into my application?
So if you want to merge it in your application, you need to go to your app.xaml, not the code behind, but the actual XAML definition itself. And within application resources, there is a resource dictionary entry. you can enter as a child to that the resource dictionary merge dictionaries as a collection property. This is one of the great things about XAML, is if a property is a collection, then it expects to have one or more elements within it, rather than you having to turn around and create some collection object and then put them inside there.
If you were to look at the real code here, a merge dictionary is just the property on resource dictionary of type resource dictionary, just a collection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so here in this code sample, the first one is the standard one that comes out of the box, and we've added our custom one, and you could keep on going, right?
Yeah, and so one of the key things is, you know, you get all of these standard styles, which gives you your default look and feel. One of the big mistakes that I often see is people go, how do I get a light theme? And they start going into the standard styles, and they're trying to mess around with all of those, and then all of a sudden they get controls that don't show up. You actually just ask at the top of the page that you want a light theme, and it just works.
Yeah.
So bear that in mind. If you feel that you're going in changing all the standard styles, you're probably doing it wrong.
Yeah, and you can also do it at the application level so that every page gets it that way. I wish I had the URL for, or the file path for this. But there is the generic XAML that is injected into your application.
Yep.
And it's injected by the operating system. That's where all the light and dark and neutral themes are, or the default themes are. High contrast, that's it.
High contrast, yeah.
Themes are. So if you really, really needed to tweak them, you could do what we did before, where we right-click and extract the template or extract the style.
Yep.
Or you can go and use those and tweak them directly.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of nice power there, no doubt about it. Okay, so when you're doing a style, this is, again, it's, the corollary is directly to CSS. When you're doing a style, this is how it looks, right? You create a style and you select what the target type is. So in this case, this is a style for a text box. And to be more specific, this is a style for all text boxes. Because it doesn't have a name, it says apply to all text boxes unless they explicitly have their own style.
So this is an implicit style.
This is an implicit style for all text. This is great. I could come here and I could change the background, and from that point forward, every text box at the scope of this style has that new background color. It's pretty handy.
So one of the great things about this is how you can really facilitate branding of your application. Is you can come in and you can employ consistent colors. You can actually differentiate yourself a little bit from the crowd by virtue of introducing your branded colors. You know, if you're, say, blues and yellows are very prominent in your brand, then you can incorporate them broadly across your application by this.
Yeah. There will be times when a text box or any kind of style needs to apply specifically to things, not pacifically.
That would be a large body of water.
Do you know what the Atlantic Ocean said to the Indian Ocean?
I think you're going to tell me.
Can you be more Pacific?
Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, that's a good one. All right, forget it. Let's move on.
There's no candle after in this room.
All right. That was genuine. Did you hear that?
No.
That was genuine.
No, I think he's got something stuck.
He's coughing. Back to where we were. So
indeed.
The first is this typed styles, but we also have named styles, and that's because you might have an application, or you might have an application where the text boxes are different depending on the situation. So here I can apply a name. So in this case, it's my red text box. Go to the text box that needs to be red or whatever, and apply that style. Style equals static resource my red text box, right? Pretty easy. You can see that down below. That way, it's specifically done, and you don't have to worry about every text box turning red. You might do that, I don't know, on some sort of data error or something like that.
Yep.
So naming your styles, that's a pretty typical way. Most people name their styles. Coming up with a generic, maybe font family, maybe font size. You don't do much generically, it seems. But let's say you do come up with something, and you want to use named, but you also want to use this generic. Based on styles is a great way to do it.
Yes.
Based on allows me to first define my style. You see that in the first section. I define it. This is my text box base. You could name it whatever it is you want. What the font family is, what the font size is, and know from that point forward when I create the red or the white text box styles below it, all they have to do is indicate what they're based on. So you can see where it says based on equals static resource and then that style. That allows it to bring in all the setters from it and including whatever might be there, right? I can override it here or just allow
That's the key thing, because again, it's on that order of precedence of evaluation of the style. You know, the closest definition that you're using is the one that applies. So if you say you're using my white text box, then any setters are going to override any base.
I feel like it's obvious, but I think it's worth mentioning that the style itself is setting the value of properties.
Yes.
And so, you know, you could see that it's setter, property name, and then its value, and then the value matches whatever it accepts, and you get to take advantage of those converters that we talked mm-hmm. about before that allow you to say things like 35 for font size when it's, you know, it has to be interpreted.
Exactly. And the key thing as well is you can use this for your own controls. Everything that you build using dependency properties yeah. and so on and so forth becomes available in here to set properties in
styles. Custom properties can be set through a style as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. So the last thing I think at least to point out is that in this setter, you can also set complex types. So, you know, for this example, you have to set the template, and the template requires a control template and all the things that go inside a control template. And so there's a lot there, but this gives you that same flexibility, the same XAML syntax that we talked about in the first module.
Absolutely. And just remember, to do won't display.
Yeah, to do. Yeah, exactly.
That is not the control.
Right. Okay, so we talked a little bit about styles. We hinted a little bit about templates. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about templates. There's a couple types of templates. And templates, the power around XAML with templates is that it allows us to compose our controls to look the way that we want them to look.
Absolutely.
So we talked about the fact that we can inherit from a control, that way overriding its behavior. But right now we're really talking about overriding its template, overriding the way that it looks. And so that's the control template. So I can go yeah. in and I can say the template property of any control, I can set it to be a control template, and from that point forward...
Yeah, we're really influencing now the visual tree.
Yeah, absolutely we are. Absolutely we are. And so that's on every single control. If you have a control that is a data repeater of some kind, that inherits from items control, like the grid view that we talked about, or the list view, then you have the option of every item that's being repeated gets a data template.
Yep.
And it applies it to that, and you can do, it's basically localized data binding, right? Whatever that individual record is, regardless of everything
yeah.
else.
Yeah, so say if we had a collection of customers, and we bound those customers to a list view, then every instance of this item data template would be passed the specific customer that it needs to render.
That's right. And you do have the flexibility that if instead of a list of customers, it's a list of contacts, every contact gets shown with the data template, and then suddenly it's, that contact is also a customer, you could swap out a new data template just for that. And so the list shows exactly what you want. You can use different, based on the types, based on values inside it, really whatever C-sharp logic you want to use.
Yeah, that's kind of trying to introduce, say, basically a template chooser.
Yeah.
You know, you could create one of those in XAML and actually specify them as sub-elements within a chooser in XAML
and
bind it to a property. Or, you, as you say, you can do it in code as well if you wanted to.
Yeah, just create your class that has the logic in it and inherit from data template selector.
Yep.
That's as easy as it is. And then we also can do all the other things. There's complexity around groups and things like that, too.
And panels.
Everything is templatable. That's what you really... If you can see it, you can override it.
I mean, one of the key things sometimes that you want to do in some of these list controls is we typically get exposed horizontal alignment and vertical alignment, but not horizontal content alignment and horizontal or vertical content alignment.
Yeah, you're right.
And so getting into the templates is often how we can go in and tweak those to shift the alignments.
It is. Sometimes you really have to go deep to get some of these small changes, which you think would be one flip, end up being an entire template change, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Now, control templates look like this, right? It's an easy enough thing. All you have to do is put it into the template property of a control. Boy, I almost lost it. A template property of a control. And it's of type control template, and you put whatever.
Yep.
As long as it's valid XAML.
And that really is the power. You know, we demonstrated before how you could just drop pretty much any content that was valid XAML. And now what we're doing in here is we're fundamentally changing the whole presentation of this control. And it's just extraordinary what you can do in reality.
It's a lot of power and a lot of flexibility. It's dangerous in a way that you can get over your head quickly, but it's also handy in that you never get pinned against a wall. You know, if that's the way it looks and I can't use it because it looks like that, that's never a good answer, right? Because you can do anything to it. So in this example, there's two. There's a button on the left and the right. The first button is just a generic button, and then we make it an ellipse. From that point forward, that button really is an ellipse.
Yeah. Now, the interesting thing, you mentioned this earlier, is the button number one, click me, has all manner of different states and presentations that as you move your mouse over, as you click and so on and so forth.
Changes color and things like that.
With the new template, there is no support for any of those state changes.
Yeah.
So it will always be a yellow circle with black click me on it.
That doesn't mean we can't do that.
Nope.
We just have to implement it from
exactly.
that point forward. Yeah, exactly. And the other issue is it may look like it's an ellipse, which it is, but it still has all of the behaviors of a button. It hasn't lost that.
Mm-hmm.
This is only a visual change. Okay, so here's a data template used inside an items control. Data templates can be used inside inside content controls as well. No, is that what it's called? Content control? Content presenter? Content?
Yeah, moving on.
Anyway, there's another. There's one other. And
yeah.
It doesn't have to be a repeater is all I mean. And here you can do, again, anything that you want, and it shows the data, and the binding data context is isolated to the individual item, completely localized to that individual item. So in this case, you can see it's just binding to whatever it is, and it's just 1, 2, and 3. That's
so one of the
showing.
Interesting things here is that it's also showing some of the XAML extensions, the ability to instantiate value types in 32 and so on and so forth. So we're actually creating value types here by virtue of that extension.
Yeah, that's right, because x colon integer or int 32 there is basically saying this is one item, then 2 is another item, and 3 is another item, and so that repeater is just taking those items and repeating them. Yeah, it's pretty neat.
Yeah.
All right, let's add one thing to this items control then, and that's going to be the panels template. And so in the panels template, you can see it's the same control as before, same layout of the 1, 2, and 3, but we've now set the items control dot items panel. This is what the items are rendered inside of. Now, by default, it is, well, let's see, by default, it is a vertical stack panel. And so we have gone in and changed it to be a horizontal stack panel. That's why it's 1, 2, 3 left to right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's neat. You can override everything that you want to. And sometimes you have to, sometimes the defaults are fine.
Yeah, equally, you know, we could put in some any of the other panels that we discussed earlier on, such as the wrap panel.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. Let me pull up. I'm going to show you the grid view real quick. I think that will be a worthwhile thing to show just real quickly. The
yeah.
grid view itself, you know, it's the repeater, the data repeater that is defaulted inside Visual Studio or inside Windows 8 applications. So let's see. That's this one. Let me show you what it looks like. Oh, I got to stop debugging.
That would help.
Yeah.
You know, here's just a little demo you knocked up earlier.
Yeah, I did this over lunch.
Yeah.
What do you think? All right, so
there it is.
Here's the first one. So this is just a list of all the colors that comes from the colors namespace. And so here they are, and you can see all that it does is this is using the wrap grid, which we talked about earlier.
Yep.
The wrap grid goes down, and when it hits the end, it wraps again and then just keeps on going wrapping. Each one of these has an individual data template, right? It's an easy enough thing. And grid view is opposed to list view. List view is its sister component. A grid view fundamentally is a horizontally scrolling control. And so you can see I can go left to right here. And very nice. This is what you would use in almost everything in your application. But sometimes you'll snap, and this is the size of a snap view over here. Then suddenly the list view is appropriate because the list view, generally speaking, is a vertically scrolling repeater.
And what's really interesting about these two controls is they're fundamentally the same control.
Mm.
That behind the scenes, they both inherit from the same base class.
Mm-hmm.
They both expose pretty much the same methods and so on and so forth. So this presentation is just purely part of the look
yeah.
rather than the behaviors.
And earlier we were talking about touch, keyboard, and mouse and how you want to support them all. And these are the types of controls you want to use because they already support touch, keyboard, and mouse. I can roll with my mouse. I can also scroll with my finger easy enough. And I can also, like, for example, if I wanted to take this dark red here and move it over here, that reordering is a built-in part of the grid view. And what's very cool, if I took the black one here in the list view and dragged it down, you can see it reordered over here. That's because I'm using data binding on the back end, and as I'm changing the order really is changing, right?
Yeah.
They both reflect the same thing. That functionality is just part of the grid
and
view.
And all of the animations that you see there are all core to the control as well.
Yeah, there's really nothing special that I have done to make that work, right? Just enable it.
Yeah, it's just basically setting a true value in a property.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Or in this case, 3 properties. But yeah, you're right. Okay, so that's the simple grid view. The grid view has other powers.
And it uses them mostly for good.
mostly for red. And so this is, now they're grouped together, right? These are hues of mostly red, these are hues of mostly green, and these are hues of mostly blue. That's just me being able to show that I can take my data and I can restructure the data into a hierarchically grouped set, and I can feed that to the grid view, and the grid view knows what to do next. Of course, I went in and said, this is what the data should look like as you repeat it. I also went in and said, this is what the headers should look like, with that little red box there and a little green box there or wherever. And so, of course, I have the same functionality over here on the list view. It groups them together as well, you can see. It has a header as well that I can use the same template, which I did.
Mm-hmm.
Very powerful. It also has a relationship with the semantic zoom control. The semantic zoom allows me to back away from data. You remember when we were in our start menu here, I can back away from my my start menu like this, and it zooms away so I can see all the different groups, right, in case there's a long list of data. I can do the same thing here, back away, and then I can have templates that show what these individual groups, and we'll talk more about semantic zoom, but it's really the grid view and the list view that enable, well, it's the grid view that enables it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And the last thing is its ability to change size. Here we are, the same data again, slightly different grid view, just showing how you can take and use different, not only different templates for each repeated record, but different sized as well. So this allows us to add some visual interest to our application and not just be a bunch of boxes, or at least not a bunch of same size boxes. All right. Let's show off styles now.
Okay.
Yeah, perfect. All right, so I'm going to create a new project here from scratch. We'll make it a blank XAML. Now help me remember what we're supposed to do because
You were going to do actually drive into the grid views quite a bit and show some of the templates.
That's right. And I want to change the style of a button too. Let's do that first.
Yes.
So I will not hit the Windows key. It's not what I intended to do.
Yes,
I'll go into the main page. That's what it is. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Together, we'll figure it out. Okay, so
we do have one we prepared earlier, should all things fail.
Right. It just doesn't run. Here we are. I'm going to add a button. There we are. There's my button. And now I want to make it, I'll add another button just so I can use some interactions here. So this will be the button that changes it. In fact, I'll have two buttons. And so this is the button I'm going to make some changes to. I'm going to create a style. And I'll type all of this so that you can kind of see it. It's nice when it's typed because it's slower, you know what I mean? And so, there we are. And so whenever I create a style, there we are. The first thing is determining what type of control it's for. You can't just make a generic style that makes everything changed. I wonder if you could say target type control. I wonder what would happen. I never tried that. Sounds dangerous.
Sounds dangerous.
All right, so yeah, all right, back to button. All right, here's button. And so now, this is going to change all the buttons. If I created a setter and its property is going to be background and I change its color to be red, all the buttons on the page will change the red. Of course, that's not what I want, right? I'm going to instead create a name to this, and it's going to be my red button. There you go. That's my red button. Now, of course, that doesn't work immediately on this. I could go in and I could type now style equals static, and then I can say my red button. Perfect? Excellent.
Perfect.
Or if I did like to use the designer, which I do, then I could go to the properties of that button, and down in miscellaneous is the style property. And here it is. I could see it's a local resource called my red button.
And you can also use the filtering capability of that to quickly find the properties.
Yeah, if you couldn't find the style, you just go up here to the filtering here and say style. There it is. It shows right here. I treat it like I'm going to data bind it, but instead I go to local resource, and because it is local and it's in scope, I can see that it's there. You can see there's quite a few other ones, and it's filtered. There are actually more than that, but these are the ones that are relevant for this type.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can select my red button. Basically, all it did was typed what I had, or it injected what I had already typed. Right?
Yeah.
Pretty cool, really.
But with less typos.
But with fewer typos and less opportunity for failure. All right, so I have the first one. We're going to make this button right here. I'm going to change it to make red, and we'll change this one to make green, if that's all right with you.
I think it's fine.
I'll go create two quick styles, bam, 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 like so. I'll change this one to be my green button and change it to no longer change it to red, but make it green. Am I right?
You're good.
Okay. And okay, so now this is nice because I think we maybe didn't show event handlers, but I'll go ahead and show an event handler.
Yeah, why not?
So this is a button. There's a million ways to create an event handler. Actually, there are three. So the first one is
I told you a thousand times. Stop exaggerating.
I can go to the properties of this button. I can go into its list of events. There's click, and what's nice about a button like this, click handles the mouse, but it also handles the touch events as well. And so click is perfect. I'll add a click event by double clicking. It takes me and navigates me automatically to the code behind where I can make a change. So I know that this one, which one is this? This is the red. I'll do the same thing for green. I can just double click directly on it. That's another, whoop, there we go. And it will create the handler for me as well. Nice little shortcut only for the click event.
Only for the click event.
Yeah. And so here, if I get the reference to, let's see, this red button here needs to be given a name so I can talk to it. Ink is my button. And so we'll use my red button, my green button as the styles. So I want to change its style. The first one will be here for the red one, like so. And I'll say my button dot style dot my red button dot. That is the style. Dumb. My button, not my red button. My red button dot style equals. And now I need to pull it out of the resources of the page.
Yep.
And so that is just my red button, right? Now, earlier I saw where you had used a key versus a name.
Yes.
And there are some advantages of going both ways. Do you know what they are?
I think you're going to tell us.
Well, I'll tell you the main one and probably the most important one. If you use a key, there are places where a key is required because it is actually out of scope and you should never be able to reference it by name. X name means that it is going to be in a scope that you can call by name. So if I move this out into a resource dictionary, I can't use name because I can never call it by name. It's no longer there. Because it's in my page, I can use X colon name and I can call it directly. If I can't call it directly, I use X colon key.
What's the difference between X colon name and name?
Well, there is no name.
Some controls don't have name, whereas X colon name applies to all controls.
Yeah, you're right. In fact, in the WPF world, X colon name was the solution to name conflicts.
Like yes.
This control already has a name or its parent already has a name. Mm-hmm. What a nuisance that was. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Okay.
Moving on
to that. All right, here's the first one where I set it and I could call it by name. If it wasn't by name, by the way, I could always say it like this. I could say this dot, or wherever it is, this dot resources, it would still be in this resources, and
now you could use the key.
Whatever key, just like that, right?
Yep.
And it would pull it over. It would pull it over as an object, so I'd have to say as style, and I could go from there. That would work the same if it was a key instead of a name.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so here I set it as the red one. Here I'll do it so that it's the green one, like so. And if I were to run it, which I am about to, I can swap between those two styles really easily, except for...
Apparently, you can't spell red.
What?
I have no idea.
Oh, man. All right. My red button. My red button. My red button. Style equals my red button. What?
What?
The easiest demo yet. Okay. There it is. It was conflicting with what its previous setting was. All right. So now I can go between the styles. That shows how I can swap out a style and I can change the way it looks, but now I want to change it to be a completely different control.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a fun way to do that, you know, there's a tool in the previous expression suite that...
Are you talking about expression design here?
Yeah, I just love it too. And so here's expression design. And
which is available free now.
It's a free download off MSDN. You don't have to do anything to get it. And it's basically a vector image editor. And so if I were to go in, let's say I was going to create, actually, let me go in. It looks like a small version of Illustrator is what it sort of looks like. And so I can go, I'll create a quick polygon here. And now I can do some neat things with this polygon. And I'll show you why it's worth doing it in a tool like this. I can add a few points to it. I can bring those points in like a star. And let's make it into a hurricane sort of thing. I can say it doesn't have an outline, but it's filled with red. All right, good enough for you?
Absolutely.
That's fun. Think about how long that would take if you were typing those individually. All right, so
what would be the likelihood of you getting it even close to looking like that?
Yeah, zero, right?
Somewhere absolutely between zero. Slim and none.
Somewhere it's the divisible of pi or something like that. All right, so here's what's cool. I want to select this, and so one of the ways I can do it is I can say edit copy, and because this is a design and it understands XAML, right? So it is a, this is a friend to Blend. I can say copy XAML. This is awesome. I mean, this is awesome. So now I've copied XAML. It's in my clipboard. I'm going to get rid of design here and go back. This is what I want to change. So I know I'm going to do that with a control template. So here's a control template. I'll give its name to be, I don't know, a storm template. Right? Is that good enough for you?
Sounds good.
Yeah. I'll paste in what's there. I'm going to take away. It doesn't need to be a canvas. And I want it to match the size. I don't remember what the size is. What do you think the size is? 171 by 192, almost square.
Yeah, maybe just if make it square.
Yeah, it would be a lot nicer, 171. 171 by 170. Now it's a square button. And I can do the same thing up here. I just come and I say, here's the star, is 171 by 171. It's no longer in a canvas, so I don't care about that. It's no longer in a canvas, so I don't care about that. And I'll just leave the rest the way it is. I will change its color. No, the color was red. That's fine. That's fine. All right, so now I've got a control template, and inside that control template is the star itself. Now, I will also want to see the text. You know, you want to see the button. Right now it says button, but
let's say it says
click me. Yeah, I need a placeholder, and that is going to be using a content presenter. Just like so.
Yep.
All right, so I won't fiddle with that, but of course, we also know that you're going to have some sort of containing object now because I've used two controls. We'll put them in a grid. There we go. So first will be the storm-looking thing, and then on top of it will be whatever is placed in the content, which we know is set right there.
I mean, basically, just to reiterate that, any value that you assign to the content, the infrastructure will replace the content presenter and actually inject that content.
Yeah, here I put just click me, but if I were to expand it, I could put another button or an image or anything I want.
Any valid XAML.
And rather than figuring out how to handle that, that's what the content presenter does for us.
Yes.
It's really nice. Okay, so let's see. I'm going to need a third button in order to set that. So let me add a button here. Now I will put it in a funny place here. Make green. I'm going to say make storm. This is going to basically change it so that I'm not changing its style, but I'm changing the template, the underlying template that does it. Now, you were talking earlier that changing the template isn't enough for all the visual states.
Mm-hmm.
My template equals, what did I call it, my storm template?
Yep.
Maybe just storm. There we go. So now as soon as I set that template, that will fire all the events necessary to redraw it as well. So I don't have to worry about refreshing it or anything like that. It's nice and powerful. So back to it. There's my button. It's a nice little button. I can click it all I want. I can change its color however I want. And then I can go in and I can also change its template. Pretty nifty.
Pretty. Now click on the button.
Now click on the button. Now wait, in fact, let me back up.
Okay.
This will be important. So if I go to the button itself, it's still a button, I'll give it a click event.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah. Because I want to prove that the click event isn't lost, even though I've changed it from being a button altogether. So here I am. This will be in my button click one. And we'll say, there's no message box. Don't forget there's no message box.
No, you can just show dialog.
Yeah. So we'll say await new message dialog. And then we'll say hi.
Then we're going to show async.
Show async. What's that?
Go ahead.
Well, I had to, right?
That's it.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so now all that's happening is a message box has popped up and it's going to say hi. And this is the message box in Windows 8. Perfect. So I'll go ahead and run it. If I click the click me button now, hi pops right up. That's the way a message box looked. Click, 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 change all of its colors. Still a message box pops up because it's still a button. Change its template. Is it still a button?
I think it is.
Click.
Oh,
still get
there it is.
Right. The underlying functionality of the control hasn't been changed, only the way it's displayed in the UI.
But what we don't see is any of the state changes when you click it, when you move your mouse over it, or anything along those lines.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. If I wanted to do that, I would need probably most easily to extract it first by, we showed this previously, but I'll show it one more time, is the...
What we didn't do, though, was we didn't go into that in any detail. We just collapsed that down.
Oh, so yeah, we did. Yeah, we did.
Good time to just illustrate what some of these states would
look
like.
So here's the button. It hasn't had its template set. It's just the default here. And so I can right-click it, and when I do, I can edit its template. Of course, edit current Doesn't work because EditCurrent is expecting there to be one defined here in some scope, but it's not. It's just taking the one that's native or defaulted. So instead, I'll say EditCopy. That'll pull the one that's inside the control out, like this. Ask me where I want it to go. I want it to go right here in this document. And let me see. I'll just XAML only for a moment. And so it's put it up into the here's my style and control that I showed earlier. And then right below it, it added a new style that includes the entire control template we just set right here. And inside there is where kind of the power is, right?
Yeah.
And let me collapse a few things just to kind of show off some neatness here. There we are. No. Let me open those to show some more. Yeah, there we go. So the first thing is visual states are an arbitrary setting in a control. It allows me to give a name to its current state, and that's all that it is to it. The visual state manager is listening to whatever that state is and then executes some sort of transition when it happens, right? And it allows me to say hovered is a state, or in this case, look, pointer over is a state, pressed is a state, disabled is a state, and so on, right? Those are all common for a button. And if I were going to implement my own look and feel, I would need to come in and make sure that I copy this into my template and use the same names because the visual states are going to be set by the code behind that I haven't overridden.
Exactly.
And so I want to make sure I use these same names. And inside each of these, in fact, disabled might be a fun one to show, a visual state is a container for a storyboard. Mm-hmm. A storyboard is a container for an animation. And so what it basically is saying is when this transition occurs from one state to another, I want this storyboard to run. That's when you say, that's when you start changing all the values of your styles. So you may individually change a style with an animation. You may change the entire style definition with, you know, just from green to red, and the whole thing flows with it.
Absolutely. And we'll go into this in much more detail in the next day session.
Yeah.
Towards the end of this month.
Yeah, absolutely we will. But it's important to know that until you implement your variation on these storyboards, so that storm, you know, that we have, until you implement your own variation, it'll just be a static, boring storm. Yeah. As boring as a storm can be, I suppose. Pretty neat, though. Just using design is really a cool option for developers. The fact that it's free, the fact that you can just go to MSDN and download it, the fact that it's pretty easy to use to build nice vector images that you can just copy as XAML and paste directly into your application and go.
Yep.
There are some things that it can do that XAML, that your application may not be able to. Odds are everything it can do you can put into a WPF project with no problem.
Yes.
Right? But the Windows 8 XAML framework is much younger, and so there are some things that aren't implemented. There's a possibility you'll do something to it and you'll copy it over and it won't work. And so, you know, it's just a little bit of a trial.
You may need to iterate a little bit.
Yeah. You just kind of make it work the way you want it to work. That's exactly right. I did notice the content presenter was not centered.
Yes.
If you are wanting to control the location of an object on the screen, what's one of the things you would do?
Well, you could certainly, if you're placing it inside a grid, you could specify some horizontal and vertical alignments. Mm. Yeah, you could...
Well, let's talk about that for a second. Horizontal and vertical alignment is a... here it is. Is not a true or false, right? I have some options here. If I did say... Well, let's start with the first one.
Yeah.
Left is probably pretty obvious, right?
Yeah, I think left will align it to the left.
Yes. And center?
Well, based upon the container within which it's in, if it can establish the dimensions of the container, it's going to place it in the center.
Yeah.
And that's one of the key things is sometimes you might be in a control that the extents haven't been calculated. It may be an infinite surface and so on, and so you may not get the response that you're expecting with some of these settings.
Yeah, the containing control could be off the screen. Center could be off the screen too.
Exactly. And so whenever you're setting these things, if you see something like that, then just remember, okay, maybe the size of the object in which I'm trying to position is beyond the extent of my display. Mm. Don't just assume that, oh, it's crashed, it's gone. It's out there, it's being rendered somewhere. It's just 3 million pixels to the right.
Yeah, that's right. Now, here's an interesting... there was one more. Let's go ahead and hit it. And that's stretch. Stretch is pretty special.
Stretch is pretty special. And it's effectively saying, you know, you're able to use all the available space. different controls will react to this in different ways.
Yeah.
You know, and it's one of the things that, you know, you couple it with the Viewbox and so on and so forth, you can do some very interesting things.
Try to stretch a control that has an explicit width or height. It will not stretch, right? Because you've already set it to be explicit. That's exactly right.
And that's why encapsulating it in a view box, because the view box will do the expansion for you, even if you've got an explicit dimensions.
So I'm going to take these styles, and I'm going to move them out of this of the resource page resources here, and I'm going to move them into a resource dictionary like we saw earlier in the slides.
Okay.
So I'll cut them off here so they're not there, and I'll go in and I'll create a new file. I'll add it to my project. Oops. Add a new item. And resource dictionary is the type of item I want to add.
I'll
leave it dictionary one, although that's a ridiculous name.
It is.
Okay. So here's a resource dictionary. Easy enough?
Yep.
Yeah. And I don't have to do anything special. I'll just paste into it. And now they're available to me. No, of course that's not true.
Now they're available within that file, but it's not referenced anywhere. So we need to add it.
That's right. And so... in order to add, I could add it two different ways. I could add it directly to the page or all the way up in AppXAML, and that's what we want to do. So I'm going to open up AppXAML where we can see the standard styles is already referenced. You can see in the common folder here, there's standard styles, and that's already referenced for us. I can just copy that syntax and change it so that it's no longer a common. I know that it's in the root folder here, and I called it dictionary one. Now it really is available.
Mm-hmm.
And it's available on every page that I create from this point forward without having to worry about it.
Yep.
It's pretty nice.
And the nice thing is all the design tools, you know, the design surface, blend, and so on, read this and know it's available.
That's right. Now, I put dictionary one first, but I could put it below it. Does the order of precedence matter?
Somewhat.
Yes, it does. Absolutely. It's a possibility that some of the styles inside Dictionary 1 inherit or are based on some of the ones inside Standard Styles. So you can't just put them in any order. They need to be in the order of the way that they're referenced.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you can run into some strange errors sometimes when you've got styles that are based upon other styles and they aren't in reference. Sometimes when you actually start up, you get invalid XAML.
Yeah,
and you can get quite twisted up if you haven't done these things right.
It can be pretty challenging to reference them like that.
Yes.
Okay, so now back to our discussion about key versus name, right? So now if I was to build, I have these problems about key versus name. Can't find those anymore. Mm-hmm. So now I'm going to change them into a key so that we can go from there. So I'll change everything that's named key so that it works just dandy. Inside XAML, everything works the same, but it's the code behind that matters. And so now when I go to the code behind of my page, of course, these don't work because they're no longer inside scope.
Yep.
And I use what we did before, resources, and then in this case, I can just take it. I use the same one as style, like so. And I'll do the same thing here. Resources, use the same name as style. And I'll do it one more time.
This time with feeling?
But this time, not as a style. Resources, use the same name as control template. Oop, just missed it. This is the French. There we are. And do it as a control template. So now I get the same effect, but I had to change my approach ever so slightly because I moved everything out of scope. So I couldn't call them by name anymore. Not a big deal, but now it works. If I were to run it, let's see.
You deleted the template out of the page, but you didn't change the reference on the button. The button is still trying to do the copy template.
Wow. I'm glad you're here. Wait.
On the first button? There you go.
Ah, excellent job. Excellent.
This is why they pay me.
Wow. Excellent job. All right. So here I am, and now, just as before... I get a slight error.
A micro problem.
It's the slightest of errors. It's a very small problem.
It's the problem with merged dictionaries and trying to reference them and such.
That might be right.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what to do?
Pull them up at justicaminapp.xaml. Just take those out of the dictionary definition and put them in app.xaml directly.
You think that'd make a difference?
Yeah.
Well, why not?
Why not? Double quit.
Nobody needs to look at what we're doing here.
Yeah. You're only performing to thousands.
That's right. Somebody is currently chatting what the answer is, and we just don't know because we can't see it.
Yeah.
Let's see.
To blow the resource dictionaries. Yeah, you can't put it in the merge dictionary.
Sorry. So now...
Let's just run it.
You think they'll do it? This is not part of the demo, by the way. Why I did it like that. I have no idea
why you did it. It's like a, there's the beaten path and there's Jerry in the weeds.
Okay, remember earlier... Remember earlier where, let's see, the error was we couldn't add the Darren view model inside the canvas?
Yeah.
We solved that too, obviously. Exactly. As soon as the camera went off, we knew the answer.
Yeah, it's like, you know, Darren was not a control.
And so you can't put a not control inside a canvas.
Exactly.
Why I was trying to do that, I don't know. I will solve this as soon as the camera goes off as well.
Exactly.
No doubt about
this
it.
This is what you get for walking off the path.
Oh!
It all went so well.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Anyway, let's back up and talk about what we do know. What we do know is that we can style the way something looks so that we can sort of influence the style of all controls of that type. We can know that we can individually affect the color of a type by saying its style equals, and so that we can affect them individually. We also know that the styles can be extracted and moved into a dictionary.
Where they can only be referenced in XAML.
Where they can be referenced in XAML and in code behind. There's something I'm missing. I'm going to try something real quick. Don't.
Sorry.
All right, I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to try that, though. I knew it! I knew I could figure it out.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's not the page resources I went up to the app where it's actually defined.
That would be the problem. Yeah. You scoped it.
Yeah, it's not even in the resources of the page. Mm-hmm. Of course it isn't.
No. I mean, that's one of the challenges, to be honest, with merge dictionaries and so on and so forth, is making sure you've scoped the search correctly. And also part of the problem can be going through the merge dictionaries to find them all.
Yeah, it can actually be quite a job of debugging to figure out where things are referenced.
Because really unfortunately, some of the exceptions that you saw there, they don't point you to where the problem is. And it's just through experience you go, oh, we just did something with styles. And, you know, back out what I just did, it works, dive in, and then you can narrow it down. It can be really, really challenging when you're first starting out, when you start playing with these things. So I would recommend when you're first learning is do things in small increments. Because if you do a wholesale change to all your styles, then you do a whole bunch of coding around it, then you run it up, and you're getting these problems, it's very difficult then to roll back and find what's going on. So iterate on small increments.
Yeah, you're right. You want to see something cool?
Oh, I'm scared.
Here, watch this. I'll go to AppXAML where I have that. This is the storm right here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to go to its properties for a second. And if you remember, it's red. The background is red. And but it also has it. So the brush, the fill, is what you call that for a path. You know, mm-hmm. that's the background. In this case, I don't want it to be red. I want to match the style of the button. You know how you can switch the style around? And remember the style...
Template parent?
Is changing, that's right. It's changing the background. And so here, I'm going to do a binding. And it's a pretty cool way of doing it. So I'll click the little box over here so I get the syntax just right. And I'll go down
to... If only we had this help when we were doing the styles.
Yeah, I was counting on Barry and he'll talk about let down. All right. What's the point? Barry's here as our technical editor.
Exactly.
And he's yet to step in. All right.
Here, I'll do that.
Template binding is different than data binding. Template binding is binding to the parent template that's being templated, I guess is the way I mean to say. So because I'm in a control template, I know that the control is being templated. That is the template binding. And so I can go to template binding, and then what could be set to fill? The background, the foreground, and the border brush are all of type brush. That's mm-hmm. the reason it's filtered to those three. I could pick the background. And the background, remember, of the button that's being templated is being affected by its style.
Yep.
Right. So if I were to run it now and toggle between its style, I could say green, I could say red, I could say green, I could say red. And if I were to show the storm is red, but that red is because that's its style. If I were to switch now to make it green, even the storm changes to be green because it binds back up the tree to its parent and then the property inside that parent.
How awesome is that?
It's amazing. Yeah. That is absolutely
amazing. Frank somewhere just went, he said awesome! Awesome!
That's right.
Shampoo.
But it's you. Excellent. All right, so powerful, two things, styles, templates. If you want to skin, what's the difference between skinning and styling? I don't know, is there a difference?
I don't think there is a difference. I mean,
theming.
Well, people tend to talk about skinning and theming when they're really talking about a collection of styles that represent entire brand.
Yeah, I think so too. So a theme is the collection. A skin, maybe, I don't know, maybe that's what when you change the theme of, or the template of something.
I think there's also people tend to think about having multiple skins or themes and being able to change them dynamically. So I think some of that comes into play as well.
In life, I know the thicker the skin, the better.
Indeed.
No doubt about it.
Exactly.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. That is styles. That is templates, the ability to make controls look the way that you want them to do. You can share those resources across your application, inside your page, or however best suits your application. You can do kind of, it's almost at the limit of your imagination.
Exactly. You can really bend XAML to your will in terms of being able to use these styles, being able to create the various tools that allow you to influence how this application looks. Make it your own.
That's right. I guess it's worth throwing out there that you can go too far. You can definitely make it no longer look like an application. If all of your buttons look like storms, you may have some affordance problems.
Usability may be a little bit down.
Yeah, no doubt. But you can. That means you should.
Indeed not.
We'll see you in 10 minutes, and we'll come back to Module 6.